From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes,
and so it goes,
and so it goes,
and so it goes.
But where it's going, no one knows.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning and happy Friday. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Greg Bach is on the board, Carol Kane with me in studio, and a very special guest sticking around for an extra 20 minutes or so, Earl Ingram from the Earl Ingram Show. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, and I'm honored to be able to have an opportunity to sit across from a legend.
Oh, that's so the $5 I gave you worked. I appreciate that, Earl. We have lots of things coming up today, coming up at 11:06, as always on Fridays. We are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon. Dr. Mike fixes your life, so if you ever have a question for him, you can email it in. Text it at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Earl, we want to talk about your organization called Voices of the Elders, which has been around for several years.
Well, this is the second year. About a year ago, I was I'm a lifelong resident of the city of Milwaukee, and I was watching the crises that is young people stealing cars. And in the city of Milwaukee, over 5,000 vehicles have been stolen thus far this year. And what happens is when young people steal those vehicles, the police chase them. And they don't chase them and say, well, there's a 10-year-old behind the wheel of the car. All they know is the car is speeding away. And they chase until the car stops. And unfortunately, so many innocent people have been impacted and affected by that, just doing their daily activities, that I was waiting for somebody to do something to fix it. And almost 2 years ago, an idea came to me, and I thought the best way to fix that was to have gray-haired men like myself in my community, were referred to as pawpaws, step forward and work with. I didn't believe and don't believe that men of and women of my generation can't work with kids 10 to 15 years old. I refuse to accept that. And I know the ready answer to that.
So how are you dealing with these young people who are stealing cars?
Well, number one, I think that part of the solution and the way people are addressing crime and working with children, because I spent 12 years in Milwaukee Public Schools volunteering my time. So I think if 5 days a week.
You were a coach, right?
So I ran the largest youth tackle football program in the state for 20 years. And 3 years ago, I finally stepped away from that. And at the same time, I was volunteering my time in Milwaukee Public Schools. And so I got to meet children. I was dealing with kids on a high school level. And I realized in the last 4 years that trying to change adults or children soon to be adults, you know.
It's tough.
It's the chances of you doing it is more difficult. The resources are going to cost a lot more. It's better to direct children than to try to turn them around. So I started working at a school that had kids kindergarten all the way through high school. And those last 4 years I spent working with little children and giving them direction and guidance. And it was because of that that I realized that we make mistakes when we try to turn people around as opposed to guide them when they're younger.
So let me ask you, what is the reason why they do what they do? Why you got involved? Have you been able to crack that nut and find out why they steal these cars?
Well, number one, when you have a society that puts on these computers how to steal a car, somebody has to explain to me why it makes sense that on the internet, kids are taught how to steal the cars. What's the benefit by that? And many kids who steal these cars are kids who are wayward. They're children, 10 to 14 years old. And since we all know the frontal lobe of the development of a human being, sometimes it takes to be 26 years old before they really realize what's going on. I don't understand why as a society we think that somebody 10 to 14 years old really understands the impact of what they're doing.
Okay. But certainly at 10 or 11 years old, you know the difference between right and wrong.
You do know the difference between right and wrong, but I grew up in a time when my parents were married for 66 years, and the majority of my peers had mom and dad at home. Mom stayed at home, dad worked. And so we had a stable environment. We had a stable family life, stable community. Today it doesn't exist. And so kids don't get to pick their parents or their families. And so if they wind up with a dysfunctional family, for us to think that somebody 10 to or 12 years old should be able to figure it out themselves, I think is part of where we have the problems that we have. And if they don't have a pawpaw or a grandpa in their lives or a grandma in their lives, and many of them don't, what they have is this.
Is a cell phone.
Yeah. And so they are being raised and reared by their own kind, other 14, 15, 16-year-olds. And that's where the problem lies, the biggest problem.
How many members do you have that belong to the Voices of the Elders?
Right now, about 17.
Oh, that's impressive.
Our goal is to create an army. And we're going to have an army.
And you said that you're extending this now because originally it was just men who were involved.
Right.
And now you're going to be bringing in a female component.
Absolutely. Because, when we first started, I was able to convince the mayor, the chief of police, the sheriff, the superintendent of Milwaukee Public Schools. I was able to convince all of them what I saw as the problems and how we could fix them. And all of them agreed with me. And one of them was the fact that children live in such poverty. And so when they live in the kind of poverty that they live in, they're transient. They move from one place to another. And there's no stability in their lives. And then I was saying to them that, you know, when I was a kid, we had paper routes. I'm from a family of 13. My parents couldn't do a lot for me, but we had paper routes. And we learned work ethic.
It didn't matter
if you were in the suburbs. Kids had paper routes. So you learn those things at very young ages. The society, all that's gone now. And so kids who are born in poverty don't have money to do anything. So I was able to talk with the mayor about creating a payment for children if they would be a part of what we created along with a partnership with Employ Milwaukee called Camp Rise. Last year was the first year we created Camp Rise. We had 200 boys ages 10 to 15 years old who we kept the entire summer, those Voices of the Elders, those men, for 7 weeks. We put $200 a week in the pockets of kids 10 to 15 years old, 200 of them, and gave them direction and guidance and activities, took them to places like Feeding America and gave them an opportunity to earn some keep, taking them around the community, cleaning up and doing those kind of things. So this past summer was year two of Camp Rise, and so women asked about the girls. You've got boys, what about the girls? And because of my involvement in the public school system, I realized if you talk to any administrator, they'll tell you they have more trouble with girls than they do with boys. And so it only made sense that we added women to the fold, because if you save all the boys
and don't help,
and you
the
don't
girls.
Save the girls are the ones who wind up rearing boys, rearing and teaching. So we added the girls.
If you're just joining us, Earl Ingram is our guest. We're talking about his organization, Voices of the Elders, and you have a big giveaway coming up on Monday. Tell us about that.
So one of the things is I live in a community that there's some people who are really struggling economically, and part of You know, Thanksgiving is a holiday where everybody makes sure, if no other day of the year, there's this constant push by a society to make sure everybody has a great dinner on Thanksgiving. I just happen to believe that if we can do it on one day, we certainly have the will to do it more than once. There are people who don't believe that they're hungry people in the United States of America. And I would say to anybody who believes that, they haven't really been certain places, and they'll realize just how many people are hungry in this country. And so, you know, we thought it was important that we made sure and did our part with giving away Thanksgiving dinners. And we're not talking about a dinner. We're going to give them a turkey and all the fixings, and so they can make their own dinner.
That's
and
wonderful.
It's all through volunteering.
So that's on Monday. And so where is the location? It's a free event. So just people can show up. They don't have to register or anything
Absolutely
like that.
Absolutely not.
Okay. So what time and where exactly is the location?
It's going to be at Well Point, which is located at 8901 West Capitol Drive, noon to 3 p.m. You don't have to register. And one of the reasons that I didn't want those things to happen is because sometimes people have to go through so many different hoops. And
you just want to make it as easy as possible.
Absolutely. And well, people said to me, well, you know, somebody's going to take advantage. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But I'm not going to waste my time trying to find out whether or not 5 or 10 people were able to get something that they weren't supposed to get when I know that there's so many people who need it.
Is there enough information out there outside of your Voices of the Elders? Is there enough information, or are you doing an educational kind of a thing and showing people where they could go, like Feeding America or the Hunger Task Force or whatever? I mean, because I think sometimes people don't know the resources that are available to them.
Well, so I'm blessed and honored to be a part of and working with Well Point. Well Point is an entity that has been in the city of Milwaukee at 89th and Capitol for, 100 years.
We will be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin, and we are on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thank you for giving me so Well Point.
Sweet kisses to you and everything you do. I know I never find another one like you. If I do, my love, it won't be true. Oh, man, my darling, how can I forget you? I remember the first day that we met.
K.
Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matnair in for Kristen Bry. Greg is on the board. Carol Kane live with me in studio. And we are also joined by our colleague Earl Ingram, host of the Earl Ingram Show. You hear him every Monday through Friday from 8 until 10 a.m. And we're talking about this big free event that's happening on Monday and brought to you by Earl's organization called Voices of the Elders. This Monday from noon to 3 p.m. at 8901 West Capitol Drive in Milwaukee, it's a turkey giveaway. And you're giving away 200 turkeys while they last, all the fixins, everything you need. So if you are in need or you know someone who is in need, you don't have to register. You don't have to do anything. There's no screening.
Who donated all this food?
Well, so there wasn't really a whole lot of donations. My organization is kind of at the root of it. And so even though we don't have a whole lot of money, we don't receive any government resources or any of those kinds of things. We kind of, you know, have you know, through some donations, not the food, for the most part, we're just doing this out of, you know, Voices of the Elders.
Wow, that's really something, isn't it?
That really is something. Were you able at least to get a discount on all these turkeys?
You know, it's amazing.
I'm cheap.
You're so Wisconsin.
Well, if we're frugal people, you want to get the best bang for your buck.
The amazing thing about the turkeys is I've been running from here to there. And it's amazing that some frozen turkeys are going for $2.50 a pound. And I was surprised at the range, all the way down to 49 cent a pound, depending on where you go. The fact that they could be such a broad spread. And so, yes, yeah, it's not been easy, because when you say you want to get 200 turkeys, there's very few entities that have the capacity
to do that, sure.
And so not one place is going to give you 200 turkeys. I think we're able to get 50 here, 50 there, and those kinds of things.
And then where on earth do you store all those birds?
So we're going to pick all of them up on Monday morning. We left them at the places where we bought them at,
gotcha.
So they stay cold. One of the reasons that we said we do it on Monday is it takes 3 days to thaw out a turkey. So when people get them on Monday,
yep.
It's the Thursday morning. If they leave them out, they should be ready to go.
The funniest story that I can ever remember, the Butterball turkey line, everybody's familiar with that. And for many, many years, we would have a guest on from the Butterball top line
right.
for questions that people had. And one woman called in once, and she had left her turkey on the counter to thaw overnight. And when she came downstairs, she was looking for her cat.
The cat
couldn't find the cat. She goes in the kitchen. The cat's tail is coming out of the turkey. The cat was hiding in the turkey.
That's hilarious.
And I guess it was still edible, provided you washed the right. turkey out really, really, really good.
Yeah, no kidding. You got to clean that thing out. But how big are these turkeys? Are they
14 to 16 pounds.
Oh, that'll feed a nice family.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
plenty of leftovers, too,
yeah,
I would hope.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And as you said, with all the fixins, and it's just a wonderful
well,
thing.
Well, I just want to say, you know, WellPoint, which has embraced us, and we're just a group of men who, you know, did not have financial resources or backing of any entity to do the things that we're doing. And so WellPoint has offered work towards extending a facility for us to utilize.
Oh, great.
A wonderful, wonderful facility, and welcomed us into their community. So we couldn't do any of this without WellPoint, which gives us a...
I'm sorry.
Yes,
I didn't
ma'am.
Mean to interrupt you. How do kids get involved in the programs that you're sponsoring with the Voices of the Elders?
Well, the majority of that comes from the city of Milwaukee through Employ Milwaukee during the summer. And the great thing about our connection with Employ Milwaukee and Camp Rise is we take kids from 10 to 13 years old. And each one of those kids get $200 a week, $40 a day during the summer. Imagine $200 a week in the pockets of a kid 10 years old who's poor, right? Who doesn't have anything. And we can keep them from 10 to 13. Our partnership with Employ Milwaukee then guarantees employment to that same kid from 14 through 18.
Oh, that's great.
So, you
yeah,
know,
no kidding.
The mayor has gone around different parts of the country trying to, and other mayors want to replicate kind of what it is we're doing, because the same conditions exist in other cities across the
Absolutely.
Nation.
Absolutely. We only have a couple of minutes left, yeah. Earl. What have some of the kids said after going through Camp Rise? What have they shared?
Well, they've shared the fact that you don't give somebody who doesn't know anything about money, $200 a week and not teach them the value of it. So we bring people in, certainly, to teach them the value of money at early ages. One stood out more than anything else. There was a young man who last year told me he was 15 years old. And I said, what are you going to do with this money? He said, I'm going to make sure that my sisters and brothers have food to eat every week. It's a true statement. There are people who struggle in the society. Sometimes we don't see them. But because we don't see them doesn't mean
that they're not
there. It
doesn't
exist.
Right, that they don't exist.
They are there. And the needs are tremendous. They're more needy than when I was a young man. And so our focus is to do everything that we can to make life easier and to direct young people while they're young so they don't wind up in trouble. We're trying to keep them out of trouble.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
This is really, really important. You should be very proud of this organization and yourself.
Well, I'm proud of the men and women who are all volunteers, right? One thing that I have made some changes on it is initially, I mean, I'm 69 years of age. If I sneeze too hard, I'm going to be 70. But I initially only wanted guys in their 60s. But wisdom doesn't always come with age. If it did, we'd be better off. So I've had to make some changes. If they're young and they have wisdom, they can also be a part. Because our plan is to create an army. The only way we're going to fix what's going on in our community is not to have the police do it. It's for us to correct that behavior and steer kids in the right direction to realize they can be successful.
The organization is called Voices of the Elders. You can contact them if you would like to find out more at 414-507-5642. Don't forget that free turkey giveaway is this coming Monday from noon to 3, 8901 West Capitol Drive in the WellPoint Care Network. We will include all of this information in our show notes, too. So if you want to get in touch with Earl and learn more about Voices of the Elders, you can do so. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Stay with us. We will be right back. Seniors and weed. That's all coming up on As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
With that cat there?
Must be full of reefers.
Full of reefers?
Yeah, man.
You mean that cat's high?
Sailing.
Sailing
lightly.
Get away from here. Man, is that the reefer, man?
That's the reefer, man.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matmere in for Kristen Bright. Carol Kane is with me in studio, Greg Bach on the board, and you are always welcome to join us. You can text or call at 844-967-2789. If you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, you can also leave a comment there as well. Coming up in about 20 minutes, there was an arrest yesterday in Glendale.
It's priceless.
It is pretty priceless with some really unique details.
Yeah,
and we'll share that with you about 10 minutes before 11 o'clock. And then at 11:06, as he does every Friday, Dr. Michael McCutcheon will be here to fix your life. So if you ever have a question for Dr. Mike, you can text that in as well at 844-967-2789. But right now, and I would love to hear from you about this, there's a big article in the Wall Street Journal by Christina Caron that says senior citizens are one of the fastest growing populations of pot users in the U.S.
I'm not surprised by that.
The fastest growing population of marijuana users in the U.S., senior citizens.
Well, look at these. I've been to a dispensary in Michigan when I was over with, I was having a little holiday with some girlfriends, and I was just out of sheer curiosity.
Sure.
To which, when I got back in the car, my daughter looked at me and she goes, "You stink." And I went, "Oh, great. Okay. Thanks." But I think, and I'm a pharmacist's daughter, so, you know, it's, I naturally gravitate towards the prescriptions, but people are really worried about the state of prescriptions at this particular juncture, and they're very nervous about addiction and things like that. So I'm not surprised by this at all. And the dispensary in Michigan was packed.
I've been to one in Illinois. It's rocking.
Yeah.
It is rocking. And if you look at the license plates in the parking lots, there's a lot of cheese plates in the parking lot of the Illinois marijuana dispensaries.
I can say this. Every time a comic comes to the tap to do a show, they'll say, "Is weed legal in Wisconsin?" And it's one of two reactions. It's either no or visceral anger about it. Like, they're like, no! And they're like, oh, okay, all right, I didn't mean to trigger something.
We are a desert as far as, you know, everyone surrounding us at least has medical marijuana.
Well, and you know, in addition, when you're having had taken care of my mother, who passed away 3 years ago, I think this would have been great for her to stimulate her appetite because she was, you know,
not hungry,
nothing tastes good, you know, that kind of a thing. And that's a big issue too with the elderly with the elderly population.
Getting them to eat.
Mm-hmm. And so I think this would have been probably pretty good for her, but you know, you're going to convince your 90-year-old mother to start smoking pot?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily smoking, but maybe edibles.
Right. Gummies or something like that?
Using gummies.
I've tried to talk to my mom about this. Like, I'm not trying to get her schnockered. I just, like, when she's feeling some pain, take an edible. And she says the same thing every time. I don't want to feel like I'm out of control. And I'm like, I understand that.
I do too.
It's because she never did it. So she has no context. But then there's a part of me, I'm like, I'll just make some brownies and bring them over, have a brownie. And then that'll end poorly. I know it.
Yeah, you don't want to trick anybody.
No, I know.
That's a bad idea.
I'm a good son.
Yes, you are. But again, according to this article in the Wall Street Journal, obviously, you know, older adults have used pot for decades. But studies now are suggesting that more and more senior citizens are turning to weed to help them sleep better, dampen pain, treat anxiety, instead of prescription medications, which can come with all kinds of side effects.
Right, right. And the anxiety thing is, you know, I suffer from anxiety every now and then. I have like these weird panic attacks and it's like, this will probably be great for me. You know, maybe I should start smoking. I went to school in the 70s, so don't think for 1 minute I didn't when I was in college.
But back in those days, that was like mellow, cool, man. How are you doing? Want to sit in a field and just... Now it's like science.
Well, it certainly has progressed considerably from the 1970s with all the strains, and this will make you feel like this, and this will make you feel like that.
It was fascinating in Michigan to listen to the people behind the counter and their level of expertise on what they were selling was fail. So what are your symptoms? What is the, I mean, they're like little pot pharmacists.
Yes, that's really what it is. When you go to those states, they have, you know how the Red Cross to show it's a place of medicine or a pharmacy? It's a green cross.
It's a green cross, yeah. Yep. 844-967-2789 844-96-PARTY. Are you a senior who has turned to marijuana? Do you think this is a good thing? Do you have an elderly relative in your life that you think this might help?
Well,
I've certainly talked to veterans in the past.
Oh, for PTSD?
Yes. Mm. Who have said that smoking pot, at least for the couple that I've talked to about this, is far better than the prescription medications.
Well,
better.
And let's not kid ourselves in the fact that the people that are seniors at this particular juncture are from like the 60s. So they probably have some experience with it.
Right.
So this is familiar to them. You know, I've got prescriptions that the list of side effects and things that can happen, you know, interactions. Thank God my sister-in-law's a pharmacist because I've called her a couple of times and I'm like, will this react with this? Should I take these two things together? And she, no.
Don't do that.
No, absolutely not. But they don't, you know, they don't tell you that stuff. And the doctors, not to their fault, you know, my primary care physician doesn't know really what my orthopedic surgeon's given me.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. In the article, in 2007, only 0.4% of people 65 and older reported using cannabis in the past year. That number rose to almost 3% by 2016. As of last year, it's up to 8%.
Okay.
A 76-year-old woman interviewed in this Wall Street Journal article describes herself as, I'm one of the hippies from the 60s, Carol. But it wasn't until her husband was diagnosed with Parkinson's and dementia 2 years ago that she started to wonder about using pot medicinally. Because okay. over the course of his illness, he had developed insomnia. And if he's awake, she's awake. So now, well, now nobody is sleeping.
Right, right.
And so they were prescribed some medication to help him rest, but nothing worked. At one point, he reacted so negatively, he ended up in the hospital. So they tried a strain from a dispensary near where they live in Florida. And now she says after one gummy and one hit on a pipe, her husband sleeps all through the night.
Good.
Which mm-hmm. is a huge, huge thing.
Yeah. Well, when you think of the opioid crisis that we have going right now and the proliferation of fentanyl on the street at this particular juncture,
yeah.
my bet's on Mother Nature. Seriously, my bet is on Mother Nature because this stuff is organically grown. You know, it's farmed. They know what they're doing. And I just think it's not, as long as you're not getting, like Greg just said,
baked.
As long as you're not getting completely baked and you don't know where, because I could see where it might make you a little unsteady too. And you want to do it under a controlled situation.
Definitely.
You know,
I mean, don't be smoking weed with your 79-year-old grandmother and then tell her to go drive to the store. That's probably not a good idea.
See, you chose poorly. It's a yes, poor decision.
You chose poorly. But again, does this surprise anyone? I think I am not surprised by this.
And no.
quite frankly, I'm surprised it's taken this long. Because there was, I mean, like Greg said too, the people who are this age now grew up in the 60s and 70s.
Right.
So they were most likely exposed to it a long mm-hmm. time ago and then maybe got away from it and now have decided to come back.
Well, also, if they're in their 70s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, they may have grown up at a time where they were like, they were fed the misinformation and the propaganda about the dangers of marijuana.
Reefer madness.
And then we find out it's not. That, I mean, like, you know, when you're high, you're impaired. Don't drive. Don't do the things. But it's not as bad as they made. Like, I grew up in the 80s and the Just Say No. They're like, if you look at cocaine, you will die. You know, so maybe these are people just finally saying, how the heck with it? Let's try it.
I just think that it's at least a creative and possible alternative for you to mm-hmm. explore.
Definitely.
I'm just, you know, and like you said, there's so many different ways that you can do it. You've got oils, you've got
gummies. Got edibles.
Right. So,
yeah, because picking up smoking in your 70s is probably not a good idea.
Probably not.
I mean, if you're doing one hit before you go to sleep, that's not the worst thing in the world. Dr. Aaron Greenstein, who is a geriatric psychiatrist in Denver, says his own grandmother became convinced that she was reliving the Holocaust when she was going through dementia.
And
which had to be just horrible. He found that taking a dissolvable strip with a small amount of THC, which is the active component in marijuana, that ended her flashbacks and helped her feel at peace.
The subject of her flashbacks are horrible, but I love the fact that it's Denver. Because Denver, to me, when I think Denver, I just think weed. I honestly do. They call it the Mile High City for more than one reason.
Well, I'm Denver. I mean, Colorado was a pretty early adopter.
Yeah.
Oh, God, right? Yeah.
Yes, they were.
I have a very dear friend whose son runs a dispensary.
In Colorado?
Yeah.
Yeah, people who got in early on the dispensary market are making tons of money,
too. They just can't bank it anywhere.
No, that's all cash.
No problems. Yeah, I see so many. Anyway, that's a whole
move on.
That's a whole different discussion on that end. Another doctor is cited in this Wall Street Journal article, Dr. Haley Solomon, another geriatric psychiatrist, says, I've had dozens of patients who tell me that pot has cured their various ailments, but I think it's really important to listen to them, to acknowledge that, and then to study it further. And well, I think that's one of the considerations, right?
I think Wisconsin needs to have a serious conversation. I mean, really a serious conversation, not only because of the implications when it comes to health, but Illinois is getting all our cash.
And Minnesota. And Michigan.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Karina is joining us on the phone. Karina, we've got just a couple of minutes left. What did you want to say?
I think it's about the bad stigma that weed is a gateway for harsher drugs and everything like that. And I think it's not true. And the reason is I worked with the mental health and addiction, and most of the people who actually get to the hard drugs are going through the alcohol first, because this is the drug that will numb you and black out. Please tell me, is there anyone ever blacked out from weed?
No, they probably just took a nap. No, you're right, Karina.
Right, exactly. So it's, and because of the alcohol is more common, people for some reason think that, oh, it's better to drink alcohol. Alcohol kills your nervous system, never repairs back, never regenerate. Kills your liver, never repairs back, never regenerate. And the thing is, the pot needs to be regulated as an alcohol and the cigarettes, and we're not talking about that the 14 years old are going to use it. And that's just a simple thing.
Thank you so much,
that's
Karina.
How I see it.
Yep. Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. And I think she makes really good points about alcohol. Mm-hmm. It's just so
Absolutely.
It's just so normalized and so such a part of our culture that it's like, well, this is safe.
And we only have about a minute left, but I will say this. The reason why, one of the big reasons why weed is not legal in this state is because of the Tavern League.
Absolutely.
They are a heavy duty lobbying firm and they have strength and power and they've kept it from us for years.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Well, it will be interesting to see how this shakes out down the road if more and more people are smoking weed, and whether or not we will ever actually legalize it here in any capacity in Wisconsin. Coming up next, an interesting arrest yesterday in Glendale.
It's just
really
classic.
Some details that you don't want to miss. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.
I was going to clean my room until I got high. I was going to get up and find the broom, but then I got high. My room is still messed up, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, cause I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La da 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 da. I was gonna go to class before I got high.
Come on, y'all.
Check it out.
My part, and now you say you've got me out of your conscience. I've been flushed from the bathroom of your heart.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matnier in for Kristen Bry. Carol Kane with me in studio. Greg Bach is on the board and you can always check in. Call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Just a reminder to download the Civic Media app.
Yeah.
At your app store, you can listen to all of the stations, all of the shows across the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's pretty cool because you can call and text directly from the app.
It's really, really, really convenient and cool. I love that app so much. I'm such a dork.
As far as we get all excited about apps here, yes. Okay, so yesterday.
Yeah.
In Glendale, Wisconsin, there was a chase.
Bunch of mental giants in that car.
So four people in a car that was stolen from Minnesota.
Yeah.
And they're on Port Washington Road, mm-hmm. which, if you know the area, it runs parallel to I-43.
Right. They're right by the golf. There's a little golf course.
There's a golf
there.
Course there.
Yeah,
the Lincoln Park Golf Course.
Yeah.
So yesterday,
I want you to get through this without laughing.
It's just unbelievable. A Glendale police officer spotted the stolen SUV driving south along Northport Road. Yesterday morning, about 11:30, and of course, as the officer approached, the SUV took off.
Mm-hmm.
They threw down some of those spike sticks
to try and
blow out the tires. Vehicle swerved to avoid those, then crossed over into the northbound lanes of Port Washington Road, hit a couple cars, and then careened across the median and then into the barrier along I-43.
Right.
Now, you can see video of this. There's DOT cameras. Can I just say before we get to the funny part, I'm so glad no one was really hurt.
Absolutely.
Because they could have killed so many people.
And that area is very busy right now because of all the construction.
Mm-hmm. And it's just so I'm just so grateful that no one was killed. There were a couple, crashes that they hit a couple other cars. But anyway, so once now the SUV is a mess mm-hmm. and all four suspects get out of the car and start running. Two of them go east.
Yes.
Two of them go west across the Lincoln Park Golf Course.
Yes.
One of the suspects who ran east was taken into custody by Glendale Police. That happened pretty quickly. A couple of Whitefish Bay residents were on the golf course when they heard the crash.
Right.
And a few minutes later, they saw two people just run past them. Whoosh. One of the suspects was running west, running towards the woods. The other made a beeline for a porta potty.
I feel like I should be playing the Benny Hill theme song right now.
Interesting choice of refuge. I don't like using a porta potty when I have to use a porta potty. I'm not going in. I'm not going in. I mean, yeah. But what I find is interesting is that these two guys who were golfing, they took kind of matters into their own hands and they dumped the porta potty over.
They pushed it over with the door to facing the ground.
Right.
So the guy couldn't get out. Well, I mean, he could get out. He could crawl out, but
not if he fell on the door.
They
had to kick the top off.
Oh.
Had to kick the top off. But that's going to be a very... And the cops, just like, get out. You have to get out. And you can hear him. I'm trapped. And it's just like, why?
Do we have sound? We have a sound clip for that.
Yeah. Well, here we go. Here's a sound
clip. This is from WISN-TV.
Let's see here. And
a stolen car chase ended with this Glendale police officer grabbing stop sticks from their trunk and throwing them on the freeway. 12 News obtained dash camera video of the SUV slamming into two other cars before veering off the road into the grass.
Crash, 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 crash. Start fire. Ended up almost on the freeway. Doors are open.
Here's another view of that crash from Wisconsin Department of Transportation cameras. Four people hop out of the car and take off. That journey ended quickly for one of the suspects. Yeah.
One male, black, gray, hoodie, blue pants, crossing the freeway west.
Get on the ground! Get on the ground! Get on the ground! Get down!
When the SUV crashed, the suspects scattered, one of them running here to the Lincoln Park golf course and hiding in a porta potty. Exclusive video from News Chopper 12 shows officers driving through the park.
A nice, relaxing, beautiful day on the golf course.
Golfers also capturing that chaotic moment on their cell phones. At some point, a golfer tipped the porta potty over to trap the suspect inside. Police show up, flip the potty over, and make the arrest.
Taking the second overall, or are there two of them in there?
Come out! Crawl out, dude! Don't do anything stupid.
He already did.
Get on the ground. Get on the ground.
Oh, God. That's just honest to Pete. And then... why am I never there? Why am I never there to witness this kind of stuff? It always happens. But then my whole thing is, now you got to load this guy. He's been in a spilled porta potty. He's probably covered with you know what.
Yep.
And we got to get him in the squad car. Who gets the short straw on that one?
The newest guy on the force.
I said to you before the show, I thought it was really funny that the cops were going in all like movie cops, like, Robert! If I would have saw that and nothing's happened, like, it had been nothing but poop jokes the entire time. The entire time I'm there trying to get him out.
It's just so funny. What were you thinking?
Well, and the fact that he ran past people on the golf course who saw him run into the porta potty thinking this was a good move. This was my master.
Why didn't he just keep running?
There's a million questions, Carol. A million questions.
So many questions.
But they came from Minnesota. You know what they have in Minnesota? Legal marijuana.
There you go. Well, listen, I saw this dude. I wouldn't be surprised if he'd had a little something to smoke. But wow. Is it like out of sight, out of mind? Can't see? Nothing to see here?
Well, isn't that when you're like you're a toddler and you think that, you know, if
I can see you.
I can't see you, so therefore you cannot see me.
Those criminals have no object permanence.
We'll have a link to the video and all of the related articles up on our show notes after the end of the show. So if you want to take a look at the video, and it's worth a watch.
Oh my God, you're going to spend all weekend rewatching
definitely
it.
Definitely worth a watch. That will come up about an hour after the show is over. All right. When we come back, Dr. Michael McCutcheon will be here. Dr. Mike Fixes Your Life every Friday morning at 11:06. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Calendar of your events, I'm last week. I've been washed down the sink of your conscience. In the theater of your love, I lost my part. And now you say you've got me out of your conscience. I've been flushed from the bathroom of your heart.